I'm on the road this time, 'cause I wanna make it right. I'm on a roll this time, 'cause I wanna make it right. I got the
everybody. This is Vertical Live Radio, and I'm your host, Celeste Duckworth. And tonight, we're talking about upgrading your love life. And we are featuring Renee Suzanne, who is a coach. So let me put this question out here. Have you ever felt like trying to date someone while running a business is next to impossible? And I think a lot of us can relate to that. Well, Renee Suzanne is a coach for smart, successful women who want to find love. I know it's frustrating, and all the dating sites out there and all the books that are out there, and really, let's be realistic here, as businesswomen, who really has the time to really read or either investigate all these dating sites? So we have Renee Suzanne with us tonight, and I'm really glad that she's on with us tonight. I'd like to introduce the music that we started to play with Dolce Flores, and she is from Italy. The name of the song was On the Road, and I'm excited to say that next month she is going to be on an interview with other female artists for the Music Cafe, so stay tuned for that. And also, I want to talk about a sponsor real quickly before we get in to talking to Renee. Our sponsor tonight is Hope's Crossing. Hope's Crossing is a nonprofit that's located in Phoenix, Arizona. They are doing a special on raising funds, and the name of this particular fundraiser is Change for Change. Hope's Crossing has had a lot of success in helping women that have been incarcerated or drugs or alcohol. They have helped them to be restored, restore their lives, build their lives, be reunited with their families, to obtain education, and to actually get careers. They just celebrated their five-year celebration, and, you know, as any nonprofit, we're always raising money throughout the year. So Change for Change is about all that change you've been saving. Well, Phoenix, Arizona, drop that change off on October the 17th from 10 to 2 at Hope's Crossing. They're located at 830 North First Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona, right there downtown. And drop your change off. They will also be celebrating their five-year anniversary by partnering with MidFirst Bank in Arizona, the ASU branch, and they're going to have a charity golf tournament. So be watching, because definitely I will be promoting that throughout the rest of this month. If there's any golfers out there, contact Hope's Crossing, and I'll make sure that you have that information tomorrow on Vertical Live Radio's board. And, of course, you're going to be promoting that as well. So as we said, you know, when you're ready to move forward and create a fabulous life, and, you know, a lot of us have obtained coaches for a lot of aspects in our life, whether it's our own lives or whether it's finding out what our gifts are or where our passion lies. But you know what, to tell you honestly, before I met Renee, I've seen a lot of matchmakers out there. I never thought about a coach to help you with upgrading your love life. How cool is that? So I am excited to have Renee on tonight, and we're going to bring Renee on to the radio so we can talk to her about, ask her some questions about how do you upgrade your love life. Hi, Renee. Are you there with me?
Hi, Celeste. I'm here.
Well, I'm excited about tonight. I got a lot of interest with promoting the show. I've got a lot of questions that some were sent by some of our audience and some that I've obtained myself. So I'm happy to have you on here. And I just want to say, Renee, I mean, tell me a little bit why you got into this business of coaching women, especially business women, into the whole dating and relationship.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you so much for having me as your guest. I'm so thrilled to be here. And I got into this work because I had my own very bumpy journey to love. I was a single mom for many, many years of four children, and I didn't graduate from college until I was 29, and I was on my own with these kids. Their father had passed away, and I had a job and the kids and the house and the dog and the yard, and oh my goodness, it was, and oh, I mean to tell you what, there were some grim times, and I thought, how in the world am I going to do this? And I did manage to handle those things successfully. I did fine. I raised my kids. I was always employed. I had a lovely home for them. I took care of everything I needed to take care of, but this love thing was just, I couldn't get my head around it. And I would go to this was a few years ago now, back when we had Borders bookstores. I loved that place, and I'm kind of a bookworm.
Yeah.
And that's I loved it. I loved it. And I was a big self-help junkie, and that's where I went to get out of the house when I had just had enough of the house and the dog and the kids. And I couldn't, like, go to a bar. I didn't want to go to a bar and get hit on by God knows what. And so I would just go to the Borders bookstore. That was my escape, and read every self-help book imaginable. And honestly, the ones I gravitated toward were the ones that addressed dating, because my dating life as a single mom of four was abysmal. And I just thought, what am I going to do? So I was very, very drawn towards this work. And I wish I had had someone like me to talk to back then, because all I had was the self-help aisle at Borders, and I would go there on the weekends or on, you know, just to get out of the house, and I just devoured every bit of information I could find on this topic.
Okay. All right. Well, I definitely can relate to the whole, you know, the whole dating thing. It's really interesting. Do you find that a lot of women that you talk to, do you find, especially business women, do you find that it's just, even though it's, you know, it's there in the back of your mind, the desire is there, we're just too busy to go through the whole process?
Yes. Not only are we too busy, but quite honestly, as a businesswoman myself, I know all about Now, business, you kind of know what you're supposed to do, okay? You went to
mm-hmm.
school for
okay.
this, probably. You network. It's very open to talk about business. You can go to a networking event, and you can do the ask, like, who can I introduce you to? Who can I hook you up with in order to further your career? It's there is no stigma, really, in mentorship or seeking career advice or that sort
mm-hmm.
of thing. And we all, that information is readily available. And if you're willing to do the work, most of us just find, I think, our careers a little bit easier to
mm-hmm.
navigate than love. And it's also more socially acceptable. There's really no like, why would you want to, you know, get a career coach or seek advice in that
mm-hmm.
area? Everybody knows that you have to support yourself and earn a living and have a successful career. It's very acceptable
mm-hmm.
and it's expected of both
mm-hmm.
men and women in our day and age to pursue success in the area of your professional career. So
mm-hmm.
that's, and we put those things first because, hey, you got to make your rent and you
right.
have to buy food and take care of yourself and your family
mm-hmm.
if you have one. Those things are absolutely necessary and expected. So we tend to neglect our love lives and sometimes
mm-hmm.
even our health and fitness in the pursuit of that career.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I do. I can relate to that with many women, that there's so much that's neglected when you have your own business, or even if you're working for another company or even corporate America. I think it's even more so when you own your own business, because you're always trying to achieve that place where, you know, you can kind of say, oh, okay, it's like, everything is good. You did an article for Huffington Post. In your article, you said that, you know, everything about for women right now is so liberating. You kind of said a little bit about where, you know, about the equal pay, and we can pretty much entertain any career that we want, go to school, and that's really true. I feel that way today as well. And we're told in the media, and we're told, you know, a lot of stuff that's in our face, we're told about we can be with any man we want to, we can go to bed with any man we want to. But I love what you said when you said, what's so liberating about it? Because, I was like, I totally can relate to that, because we can go out and we can have these expectations, and we expect a return, like you said, on the things that we do, some type of result, but we stop when it comes to dating and relationships. Why do you think that's so?
I truly believe that the area of love and relationships is the next place for women to go when we're seeking our dreams, because we do have
mm-hmm.
the career part. I mean, we have made so many strides in the area of finances and career choices, and so many choices that we have, but we still aren't, I don't even think a lot of women are in touch with what is possible for themselves in this
mm-hmm.
area of their lives. We're still
mm-hmm.
waiting for some guy to pick us and tell us it's okay to want whatever it is we want, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of women are willing to just have, you know, a more intimate relationship than they feel comfortable with, because they don't want to lose this guy. You know, where is
mm-hmm.
the standing for what we want, or even,
mm-hmm.
even, God forbid, getting in touch with what we want? Some women are just don't know that they get to want anything.
mm-hmm. Right. So, and that's kind of the thing about my next question, when we say, does having a busy, successful career change the way that we act in relationships? How can we reinforce, you know, how can we reinforce that it's okay for us to really, you know, have that expectation? I mean, I admire women that can go out and say, this is what I want, you know, and a man, and I'm not going to settle for less. So how do we stick to that?
I think the same way we stick to it in our careers, but I think the first thing is to really get in touch with what we want, because I feel like, to take a few steps back from that, I think a lot of people aren't even in touch with what they want. They think it's not even liberated to want, like, you know, it's not modern to want to get married. The people will hedge that and say things like, well, I don't have to get married. I'm a modern woman and I could support myself. I just want to find a nice guy. And I'll say, well, okay, sure. And then what? Is that all you want to do is like find him? What? And like say hi to him? Or what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So when we decided that we were going to pursue careers and pursue financial independence as women, we had to get in touch with those desires. We wanted those things. We didn't want to be stuck in the house anymore or dependent on other people for our living and our well-being. We wanted to have some say in our own lives as individuals, as women. And I think we need to take that step in our love lives. What is it that we want? And once we are really in touch with what it is that we want, then we need to stick with having it. But first we have to own it. We have to know what it is and we have to own it. Because the guys are going to be okay with this. They guys love to give us what we want. We tell ourselves this stuff like guys are bad and they don't give us what we want. But you got to tell them what you want and you got to know what you want before you tell anyone.
So it's okay to let men know even when you're, you know, you have this other persona that's the businesswoman who's, you know, running a business or either you're, I would say even a corporate America woman, you think it's okay for us to just show that really feminine side of us, that men really want to see that feminine side.
Men want to make us happy. Men love to be around happy women. And if we know what we want and we can ask for it, in a nice way, you say, hey, this is what I'm going for in my life. Nine times out of ten, he'll be like, you go, girl. And if he's not, he's not your guy.
So what's the difference between coaching and matchmaking? Because I think it is a difference, but what would you say is a difference?
Oh, the difference between coaching and matchmaking is huge. A matchmaker will find people for you to date. A matchmaker puts people together. They look at profiles and they interview people and they try to find the best person for each person or probably several. A coach such as myself will help you to look at what is happening in your own life and make any adjustments that you need to make and hold you accountable for. Now, what I do as a coach is I help you decide and figure out what you want, and then I help you get it.
Okay.
I don't match you up with a person. I help you align yourself with the life you say you want to have.
I like what you said about making you accountable, responsible, and aligning. Finding someone that's really in alignment with your life. I really like that. I really did not, and I didn't look at any statistics for, you know, matchmaking, matchmaking couples compared to anything else. But I know that it's a huge, I'll say huge, but I know quite a few couples who have gotten married or who have, you know, in relationships from meeting on social media versus dating sites. So do you think that dating on social media or meeting on dating sites would be a little bit more like what you do as far as making a person more accountable to really look at what it is they want? Or do you think dating sites and social media can be a little bit more overwhelming to especially business women?
Well, as a businesswoman myself whose time is a premium, and I know everybody everybody today who you are busy ladies out there,
mm-hmm.
and you
mm-hmm.
want to get the most bang for your buck. And I think social media and dating sites are fantastic, because if you think about just the sheer numbers of it, you can be on social media or a dating site for maybe an hour every day and see so many more people than you would at any event. So if you were going to spend 1 hour on social media, let's say every day, versus going out every night, where would you go? You would have to find a singles event or a networking event or a bar or a dinner or a party to go to every single night. And then let's face it, what happens when you go to that bar all dialed up? Okay, the first guy gloms onto you and you can't get rid of him the whole night. And how many people did you meet? And how much
mm-hmm.
did you spend? And how hungover
mm-hmm.
are you the next day? And what did you not get done so that you could go to that thing and meet maybe two people that you weren't interested in, but you couldn't circulate the room for whatever reason? So your
mm-hmm.
time is invested. You can just get so much more from the time you invest on social media or dating sites, not to mention the money and your lifestyle, your travel time, your whatever. It's much more efficient.
Right, right. Okay, I understand that. I understand. Do you have any favorite sites yourself that you, if you knew someone or had a friend or you were working with someone, do you have any favorite dating sites that you would suggest?
I recommend the big box sites just as a rule, and we can, certainly branch out from there. My main
mm-hmm.
point that I hit really hard with everyone is, please do something. Do something.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to
mm-hmm.
join a dating site, log on to the dating site. Write a really good profile. Don't throw up, I work hard, play hard, jeans and a little black dress and look great in both. Here's a couple of selfies, email me. Don't do that.
Right.
It doesn't
right.
matter what site
okay.
you're on if you do that. Yeah.
Okay. What has been your biggest challenge with coaching?
Oh, wow. That is an interesting question. I would say getting in touch with the people that can benefit from my work. I think
mm-hmm.
that the coaching that I do is, I don't think that people are generally aware that the work I do is available to them and
mm-hmm.
is so valuable. It's so valuable to have someone in your corner who has your back in something
mm-hmm.
so important as your love life. Your best friend wants the best for you, but she or he probably isn't a coach or can't tell you what you might need to know in order to improve
mm-hmm.
this area of life, or isn't really willing to get in your face and say, gee, are you going to do this or not? A coach
mm-hmm.
will do that. That is her job.
Mm-hmm. 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 And I totally get that, because you're right about when it comes to friends, although friends and family have the best, your best interest at heart, they're not willing sometimes to get up in your face and say, look, these
mm-hmm.
are some of the things that you need to do, or you need to stop playing around, or yeah, you're right about that. I would say so. So have you ever had a very difficult client?
We all have difficulties.
Yeah.
I had a client who seemed to just want to argue with me about everything. And I adored her anyway, because you know what? I had 4 kids, and I am no stranger to getting argued with. So I just
mm-hmm,
said,
mm-hmm.
you know what? This is the way that it is. And if you
mm-hmm.
want to talk some more about that, that's okay. We can. But
mm-hmm.
I want you to understand
mm-hmm.
that this is the choice that you're making. Are you with me on that? So there are times
mm-hmm.
that people want to be difficult. There sure are. And this is a difficult area for a lot of people. That's why I have a job, because sometimes
mm-hmm.
things are difficult.
Well, why do you think it's so difficult? I mean, I have some you know, business friends that are just very beautiful women, very, you know, beautiful. They're beautiful in their spirit, you know, a lot of fun to be with. You know, just, you know, finding somebody that can they can date just seems to be, you know, kind of elusive. I had a great conversation with one of my friends, and we were saying, one of the things that's a little bit different, and maybe you can relate to this, is I have a couple of friends that they're widowed, and they started dating, and it's just kind of interesting to hear them. I'm kind of like, when I'm talking to them, it's like, you know, you guys make up more excuses not to get out there than you do to get out there. So.
Yeah.
So do you find women that are maybe that are self sabotaging in that way?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of it comes down to self sabotage in one way or another, because we all love our comfort zones. We all love to curl up on the couch at night with the dog or the remote or the ice cream or the wine or whatever, because we don't really want to go out there on that dating site. It's just, and then you convince yourself, well, because Mr. Charming and Wonderful didn't show up the first or second time you tried it, that it's not worth it. And it's so much nicer to just pick up the phone and call your friend and sip on your wine and go on vacation with the girls and say, oh, it's too much work to do the whole dating thing, and I'm tired of it, and I had some bad experiences and whatever. So if you're not willing to put yourself out there, you're not going to get it. And I don't think Hollywood helps us. We all love those chick flicks and romance novels, but let's face it, there's this thing called reality, and we have to live in it.
That's true. That is so true. That is so true. So let me ask you, you know, you were saying earlier that, you know, as far as getting out there for yourself and gaining clients, but right now, how do you usually get clients?
I do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I have my blog. I send out my blog every single week.
Mm-hmm.
I have a free call that I host on the second Monday evening of every month about a dating topic. My last one was called How to Rock Online Dating. So I have that. What else do I do? I have a YouTube channel, and I go to networking events. I'm in Chicago, so I go to networking events in Chicago, and I just do everything I can to let people know that this is available.
Okay. And I would think that really, I'm not a dating site person. I mean, I've been on one dating site, and I met one person who actually we're very good friends now. You know, but I just, you know, it's just something about it. I think it's just, it may be because it's kind of cheesy for me. it's like I haven't really got into it, you know, as well. There I go making excuses. But
we got to talk, girl. We got to talk.
Yeah. But I would say that let me see how to phrase this. Have you had to deal with the maybe differences in how people perceive dating because of culture or culture barriers?
I feel that we all have barriers and expectations, and they certainly can be more particular to some cultures than others, but everybody has barriers. If there's something in your life that you want that you don't have, it's because of a barrier that most likely that you can address and that you may benefit from addressing with a coach or with someone who can help you through that. But yes, it's there are always barriers. Most of them are self-inflicted, and they can. Yes, there are some cultures that are, for instance, more traditional and more resistant to something like a dating site or even dating at all. Some cultures are not. But the key is don't use those things as an excuse for why you can't have what it is that you want.
I understand. Yeah, I agree with that. So if someone comes to you and what are some of the things, and maybe you can tell us what are some of the what is one of the first things that you typically talk about or, you know, kind of get through when you're coaching a client and when they come to you? So what is maybe the first thing you start to talk about when you're building yet that relationship with that client?
Well, the first thing I do is I get to know them and find out where they are and what's just where they are in their life right now. And then I find out what they want, what they really, 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 really want, not what they think they want or they think they should want, but what do they want. And once I find out where they are and what they really want, then we're off to the races.
Okay. Okay. Typically, how long does it take you in a coaching, or what would you say the average amount of time that you spend with a client when it comes to coaching? Is it, you know, does it take them 3 months to kind of get up and running, or, you know, or does it take a little bit longer, or typically what does that look like?
Well, we can make a lot of progress in 3 months if someone is really ready to do this, if they're really ready to get on the phone with me every other week and have 6 sessions in 3 months. There can be a lot of progress made if they are ready to go. Absolutely.
Okay. Have you had people come back to you and say, you know, we're getting married, or, you know, because of my coaching with you, that I'm really, you know, feeling more confident about dating? Or do you have those success stories?
I have had people say, I'm in the best relationship of my life. Thank you so much. One woman even called me the fairy godmother of love. I don't have any marriages yet, but I'm sure I will. And
yes.
I can't wait to tell you about them.
That'd be great. That'd be great. So I did go on your blog, and so let's talk a little bit about your blog. I like the videos that you do. I've been kind of, you know, going through the videos as we were, you know, coming up to this date. And then, and I also was going through some of the blogs. So I kind of like, you know, I took three of the ones that I really think that probably a lot of us deal with. So I'm going to ask you and see if you just give it, you know, give us just a little bit, you know, what your take on what we should do. So the first one I read was, what if he stands you up? So what do you do if you, you know, you've done everything that you, you know, that we've gone through with you about, and we go on that date, and then they don't show up. What is our next step?
It depends. First of all, you do not want to date someone who cannot manage his life. You are a successful woman. You know how to manage your calendar. You know how to pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting at a restaurant or whatever venue you plan to meet him at, and you are straight up stood up, left sitting there, it's time to say next. Next is my favorite four-letter word for someone who just cannot make the grade. There are 7 billion people on this planet, okay? He's not so special that he gets to leave you sitting there. You know, people can manage their lives. We're all adults.
Right.
So
right.
I define being stood up as either, you know, being left sitting there waiting or being canceled on last minute. It technically isn't stood up, but it's also not a good sign. We want to date men who can manage their social lives and their calendars in a responsible way and communicate with us, and who are willing to be considerate. So I would say if you are canceled on with, you know, just a couple hours notice or straight up stood up, it is time to say next and find someone who can manage his life. And I do not care how tall he is, how handsome he is, or how much he has in the bank. You do not want to date someone who will stand you up. You just don't.
Okay.
End of story.
I love that word, next.
Next is a great
that.
Word. And if you are
next
dating, you
word.
Need to learn that word. Yes.
That's great. Okay, so my next one is, when you go out, who pays for the dates? I know that a lot of this comes up a lot. It comes up a lot. I even see it on my Facebook page. And for me, I come from a family where it was like hands down, man always pays for the date. So what would you say on who pays for the date?
Honestly, there are so many variables to this question. The easy answer. I'm old school, and I'm, you know, from Generation X, and this is a personal question that everyone needs to ask herself, and I'm not a big rule person on this, but in my world, the man pays, especially for the first couple of dates. It's just not something, but that I don't think is a universal. It really does depend on how you feel. But I believe that you want to, as a woman, be cherished and taken care of. And there's a big difference between expecting a man who maybe has children to support or other things going on to take you to four-star restaurants every Saturday night.
Right.
And you know, just being chivalrous. So if he's asking you on a first date, he ought to be able to pay.
Mm-hmm,
he really, you know, especially if he's doing the asking, and I'm big on having the man ask, he ought to be able to pay for your first couple of dates. I feel like that's important. And I feel that most men who are interested in having a relationship with a woman will want to do this. But if he, if you expect him to pay, let him pick the place. And if he asks you, where do you want to go? You don't need to pick the Four Seasons, you know, just feel that out. Yeah.
Right. To be reasonable. Now, let me ask you, do you think that a man could fall in love? I'll put it this way. Do you think a woman who's running a business and maybe it's a six-figure income or an impressive title, do you think that they can date someone who's just maybe a blue-collar worker, but maybe they have a lot of other things in common? Do you think those type of situations work? Or should you date someone that's in your same league, for instance?
Well, I think that they can work, but it's not. Generally, we tend to, water seeks its own level in all things. And you tend to, now they say, there have been studies done, they say that your five closest friends, if you average their income, that your income will be right on in there with what your five closest friends are making. And arguably, that your significant other will hopefully be one of your closest friends. So if you think about your circle of friends, they probably are a lot like you. So if you're blue-collar, your five closest friends are probably blue-collar. If you're Ivy League, maybe your five closest friends, you know, not always, but generally you are more comfortable with people that you have more things in common with. And it's just easier. It's just easier to get on with somebody who is at that same level. So if you... This is just a generalization, but if you did go to Harvard and get a PhD, maybe you will find somebody who's refreshing and unique, and you just want to get away from all that academic speak or whatever. But it's generally not likely. You probably went to Harvard and got your PhD because you kind of liked that stuff, you know?
Right. Okay. What has been, because everybody defines success, you know, differently, what do you think has been your success so far?
Well, I define success as leading a life that is fulfilling to you as a human being, not necessarily about money, although that can be part of it, but are you happy in your relationships? Are you healthy and fit? Do you have time to take care of yourself and spend time with the people you love?
Okay.
Do you have fulfilling relationships? Do you have a comfortable home? Can you sleep at night without waking up and freaking out about whatever?
Okay, wow, that's big. You're right about that. So that's a great definition. That really is a great definition. So who has been your biggest support team since you coming into this business, and you know, when it comes to your home life, who's been your biggest support? Because I know it's for women that are, you know, doing their own business, even you know, changing their lives and doing something different than they were doing. I know support is important, but a lot of women don't have that support. So who's your support team?
You know, I am so lucky. I have the best friends in the world, and I want to give a shout out. My best friend, Amy, she's been my dearest friend for over 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Just, she listens to me when I have meltdowns. She's a great friend. I have so many good friends. I love my family, and I know they love me, but sometimes they kind of wig out when I do things like this. They freaked out when I wanted to go to college. Sometimes your family, I love my family, thank God for them, but they just want you to be safe, and they don't want you to take any risks or do anything crazy and end up on their porch or whatever, in their basement. So God love my family, but it freaks them out that I started my own business. My friends have really had my back. They've really had
That's
my back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you, you know, so I know, you know, when you're talking about, you know, you lost your husband and, you know, having a kid and then, you know, and trying to do something different in your life. What was that like, juggling that family life with work? And are you still doing some juggling of family life with work?
Well, I'm an empty nester now, and I love, love, love my kids, but I'm so grateful for the new, more adult phase of my life where I can... I really am. I love them, and they're grown. And that's really working out for me, because I'll tell you, those were some hectic years, and I did the best I could at the time. But what I would say to anyone going through that now is, I hope you're nicer to yourself than I was. I was so hard on myself as a single mom with four kids, and I rarely gave myself a break. And I remember actually a very intense conversation that I had with my second oldest child, my son. We were talking on the phone, and I was talking to him from work, and I said something like, you know, I need you guys to help more at the house. I'm working this job. I'm coming myself home every night trying to have, I was big on having dinner with my kids. I had dinner with them just about every single night, and I was there. And I said, I'm doing all this. I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to be a good mom. I'm coming home. I don't go out. I don't go out with my friends. I don't do this. I don't do that. And I was really kind of whining at my son. And he said, Mom, we never asked you not to have any fun. And I was like, oh, you know what? You're right. You're right. You didn't, sweetheart. I'm sorry. You are right. And I really needed to hear that, and not that I listened to it as often as I should have, but please, please, if you're a single mom out there, I urge you to be kind to yourself. Your children will thank you, and you deserve it. Please be nice to yourself.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I'm an empty nester, and I always say I'm past the point where kids come back home again. So which is actually, you know, actually pretty great. I think sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, when I feel that little loneliness creeping in, or I miss the kids, I'm like, oh, no, I can do this now, I can do that, you know, because I remember the long days of not having an adult conversation. So,
right?
That was just, yeah, that was good. But I think the best thing for me, what helped me have that sense of being able to kind of, you know, get more time for myself, is I actually went to a university that had a family dorm on the campus. And what was really unique about that was that a lot of the sororities and fraternities did volunteer work with all the children that lived on campus. So, you know, there were times that they would just come with this bus in the morning on, you know, some weekends or in the summertime, and they would just take all the kids, and they would be gone all day.
If I had known you a few years ago.
Oh, my God. It was such a great experience because, you know, they really, we were up in the mountains, and it was a great experience. But it also taught me that it was okay to not cling so much on the kids for company, you know. So
yeah,
it's okay to let them go. It's okay to let them go. So I totally can relate to that. Well, one of the last questions I have, and then I'm going to let you, you know, maybe give some of us some tips that you'd like to leave us with. But so, you know, one of your blogs was talking about how to help Mr. Right find you, and I like that. So give us a couple of tips on how to get Mr. Right to find us.
Awesome. Yes, do join a dating site or be on social media. Please, please, please do this, because whoever your Mr. Right is, he's probably dating online right this very minute. He's looking for you, and he's saying, where is this wonderful woman? I'm on this dating site. I'm looking for her. Where is she? So please do yourself a favor and join that dating site. Whatever it is that you have to do to get yourself to be okay with that, do it, because your Mr. Right is probably there. So that's my first tip. Second tip is to be friendly and open when you go out, and talk to people and smile at them. And it doesn't have to just be the guys that you think that you might want to date. You can talk to the older gentlemen. You can talk to teenage guys. You can just warm up your little friendliness muscle, so that you're not all frozen and uptight when you do see somebody that you would actually want to date, because you've developed a more friendly habit of being more outgoing when you are out in the world. So if you're doing that, then you're just going to be more emotionally available and friendly and outgoing when you're out. And another thing I would say is, you know, go to different places. Go to the gym. Take a different way home from work. Go to a coffee shop that you haven't tried before. When you're sitting at a bar or a restaurant alone, don't be burying your face in that phone. Please look up. Look up and say hello. And then go to social events. Say yes to parties, say yes to networking events, and go to them.
Okay. You know, I really like that. I really like those suggestions. And I know for anyone that's out there, I know that one of my favorite places to go is online for Meetup, and that's M-E-E-T-U-P. And it has a lot of different groups in different cities that are doing things that you may like. And that was something that I got into to kind of help, you know, something to do, you know, once or twice a month and go meet people, which is really great for those that like that human touch. Those are some great suggestions, Renee. So my last question is, do you have any books in the future?
I have been, people have been telling me to write a book. And I definitely have a book in my future. I already do have a book on Amazon.com called 10 Things You Can Do to Upgrade Your Love Life. And that's available on Amazon right now. But that's a smaller book. I do have a book in my future. I'm not sure when, but it will happen.
Make sure you contact us, too, when you're ready. But until then, everyone who's listening, you can go to Renee's website at www.renee-suzanne-coaching.com. And that's also the name of her Facebook page. So if you want to go and read more of her blog, if you want to contact Renee, then this is the place to do it, and we will be featuring her, this program, and her website links, and to her book on Vertical Life Magazine online and on the Facebook page. And Renee, thank you for coming on. If you had any last words for us and for all of those who are out here listening, what would you say?
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here. I just want everyone to know that you can have love in your life. It is not out of your reach. This is totally possible for you. Really, really think about what it is that you want to have in your life. And don't be afraid that you can't have it. Don't worry about how it's going to happen. Just own what it is that you want, and then take steps every day to find your way, because you can have what it is that you want in your love life. You really can. You do deserve to have love. You do deserve to be treated well.
Well, you know, Suzanne, Renee, I keep wanting to say Suzanne. Renee, I really enjoyed this program. I happened to see you on one of the women's groups that I was on, and I think it's a very unique what you're doing, but I also think it's really good because, as I say, as businesswomen, time is really a big issue for us. But I think having someone help us maneuver through that and be able to, you know, sit down and say, okay, these are some of the things I want. How do I incorporate that with what I do or my time is a great thing. So thank you so much for coming on. And definitely, we're going to be in touch because I would love to have you come on another program, and I would love to have our audience see more of your blogs and more of your videos as well. Especially I have a couple of programs where I am working with business women, so I would definitely love to have more from you. So thank you again for coming on, and thank you for our audience who are always supportive of us here at Vertical Life Radio. You can contact me if you have any questions for Suzanne. And as I said, tomorrow I'm still going to be promoting the show. If you miss the show, you can listen to it in its entirety on the tape. I'm going to be promoting it. She'll be on Vertical Life Magazine. And again, Renee, have an awesome evening.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. You do the same, and I will look forward to talking to you again really soon.
Yes, thank you so much. And everyone, have a great evening, and thank you for being with us today. And remember, you can upgrade your love life.
Yes, you can.
I'm on the road this time. Cause I wanna make it right. I'm on